the one portion of that second to last song, I don't know if you caught it. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. I was this past week watching a documentary. It was called Megalodon, and it's about a 100-foot shark from prehistoric era that may or may not still be living. But one of the things I caught in that documentary was that maybe, just maybe, year 2015, we might have explored only 5% of the world's ocean. So that metaphor is so appropriate. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Just gives a big picture of God's grace. Thank you all for being here, to see your smiling faces. It's good to be here to worship God. We live in a day and age of technology. Apple products are found in millions of homes across the world. Yahoo and other search engines offer to us the second up-to-date news from around the world. We live with headlines. Google. I love Google. You can Google anything, and it gives you a compilation of millions and millions of data found from all over the world. The reason why I bring this up is I took the liberty of Googling unbelievable stories of inheritance. I found the top 10, and I'll just go over some of them with you. Number 10, a homeless man supposed to be living on the streets of Santa Cruz de la Sierra, Bolivia, fled police who were bringing him news of a $6 million inheritance. Thomas Martinez, 67, apparently thought the police were about to arrest him for his alcohol and drug habits. The man disappeared without a trace, causing Bolivian newspapers to speak of him in 2000 as a new millionaire, paradoxically not knowing of his fortune. The eighth on that list, New York hotelier and real estate billionaire Leona Hemsley, called the Queen of Mean, has left $12 million to her pet dog, Trouble. The dog's name's Trouble. The pampered pooch received the largest bequest from Mrs. Hemsley's will, while some human members of Mrs. Hemsley's family fared less well, with two of her four grandchildren cut out of the will entirely. Seventh on the list, a 17-year-old teenager received an inheritance from an estranged grandfather. Although he hadn't seen his grandson in years before his death in 2007, Josh was named the heir to what remained of his grandfather's estate, including a 36-acre island and more than 80 acres of farmland. But there was something unexpected in the will. A detailed list of antique jewelry and loose gems contained in the thermos. There was no indication at all where this portion of Josh's inheritance was. But he later found out from a letter from his dead mother that it was buried on what the grandfather called Treasure Island, the 36-acre island listed in the will. The second on the list, two homeless brothers inherited more than 100 million euros which I think is multiplied by a third with a cash from a twist in family fortunes. I think there were some issues going on within the family. But two brothers inherited 100 million euros. Our scripture passage for today is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. If you would, and I would like to follow along, can do so. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ. And as plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. If you take notice in your Bibles, there are probably, depending on the translation, multiple headlines. My headline, or the headline for this passage, is spiritual blessings. It highlights what the content is within the passage of Scripture. However, we really do not learn much about the church in Ephesus from the headline. And most of Paul's letters, which there's debate over the authorship of Ephesians, Paul states up front the reasoning for the writing of a particular church in that particular city. What we should know about ancient Ephesus is that it was a city on the western coast of Asia Minor, near the mouth of the Caistor River. The city was famous for its temple to Diana, or better known in some mythology as Artemis. And pilgrims came to Ephesus from all over the Mediterranean world to worship the goddess. Revelation illuminates more light on what the state and condition of the Ephesian church was for us. It says in Revelation chapter 2, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. I know that you cannot tolerate evildoers. You have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them to be false. I also know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my sake, for the sake of my name, and that you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. You see, Jesus affirms the Ephesians' positive actions. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. The Ephesian church was a hard-working group of believers, full of fortitude. Also, to their credit, they were gatekeepers of the truth and did not compromise with evildoers. And they showed patient endurance and bearing up under hardship. However, Jesus also notes their shortcoming. Yet, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. They were hardworking, but they no longer had the same passion for Christ as when they first believed. Their work was no longer motivated by love. You see, the church in Ephesus was diligent with the truth, and they did not allow evil doers or false teachings to persuade them. However, Jesus calls them out. Jesus says, your work is no longer motivated by love. You've forgotten about your inheritance. Yes, your inheritance you have found in Christ. I find it interesting that in the midst of Googling unbelievable stories of inheritance, that there's one missing. What story of inheritance is missing from the group? Could it be? Is it the unbelievable inheritance story of God coming to the world through the incarnation in Christ Jesus? This inheritance has temporal blessings and has spiritual blessings. Temporal would be blessings we receive for only a time. And the spiritual blessings, well, they last for eternity. This passage outlines the spiritual blessings perfectly. In verse 4, we are a chosen people. In verse 5 and 6, we are adopted children. And verse 7 speaks of redemption and forgiveness. Verse 8 is wisdom. Verse 9 and 10 is the revelation of his will. And verse 11 and 12 speaks of an inheritance. Verses 13 and 14, sealed or filled with the Holy Spirit. In the end, all blessings, whether temporal or spiritual, are a gift or an inheritance. And it is in Christ that we receive the gift or inheritance. Remember our unbelievable inheritance stories from the beginning? Strange, unbelievable, unpredictable ways that people have inherited large or pets, large sums of money. Do you know the number one unbelievable inheritance story on that list? The most unbelievable story comes out of Portugal. I'm going to try and pronounce this name right. Luis Carlos de Noronha Cabral da Câmara made an unusual distribution of his money after his death. 70 people listed in the Lisbon phone directory were contacted out of the blue after his death to be told he had made them his beneficiaries. They had been chosen at random from the directory in front of two witnesses at a registry office 13 years before. Certainly came back as a shock to them. In the first place, people do not, as a rule, make wills in Portugal. And the second, Portuguese aristocrats are getting thin on the ground, let alone eccentric ones. And the third, to be chosen by a phone directory. No wonder that some feared they were being scammed. Receiving an inheritance is one thing, but being chosen randomly from a phone book does not deserve the top spot as most unbelievable. However, as we have already seen, it should lose its top spot to the inheritance we see in Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Praise God for including us in his divine plan. He's included us. This is the Christmas message all over again. God comes to us to include us. What we should notice gushing from this passage is the abundance of divine grace. God's grace. A lot of us who know the hymn songs, first thing when I think of God's grace, I think of the song, Grace, Grace, God's Grace. Grace that has gone before us, that is present with us, and goes on ahead of us, is what the spiritual blessings illuminate for us. Jesus called out the church in Ephesus and told them their works are no longer motivated by love. We see God's graciousness when Jesus says, repent and be filled with my love again. Not only be filled with my love, but inhabit my love. Be my love in the world. Be a light in the darkness. An early church father named Augustine, or some say Augustine, passionately wrote about this. Listen to this quote. He said, the God who is inside of us, closer than we are to ourselves, is also outside, quite beyond our comprehension. We cannot reach God without God's having come toward us. When you are poured out upon us, you are not wasted on the ground. You raise us upright. You are not scattered, but reassemble us. In filling all things, you fill them all with the whole of yourself. The God who is inside of us, closer than we are to ourselves, is also outside, quite beyond our comprehension. See, we couldn't reach God without God first coming towards us. That again is the Christmas message. Augustine helps us understand the grace that is provided by God coming to us through the incarnation in Christ Jesus. Augustine helps us to see that it is grace that is wild, a grace that is determined, a grace that is infectious because of the love of God. What is infectious grace? I know that it's winter, and with different illnesses and coughing and fevers that are going around, that infectious isn't probably the best word to use. Or is it? Infectious grace. Someone who looks at God's inclusion of us, God's coming to us, God's being inside of us, and quite beyond our comprehension, and allows it to transform them and be a spirit-filled, infectious, contagious disciple of Christ. Infectious and contagious, meaning people you see that you have something they don't, and they want it. As you live your life for Christ, bearing your cross, people are infected with God's grace. basically being an, you're being an agent of God's grace, filled with His Holy Spirit. Infectious grace is the movement of the Holy Spirit here and now, causing the people of God, the church of God, to draw closer to Him and then to be sent out as a conduit of God's grace and love, as an agent of God's grace and love. The story of our inheritance as Christians is actually not an unbelievable one. It is phenomenal. It does cause us to say, wow. The story of our inheritance is a believable story. It may not seem believable that the God of the universe would come in vulnerability and die in vulnerability, but we know that it is believable because of God's grace, because of the hope we have through Christ. I wonder, this January 4th, 2015, in this new year, are we a community of faith being a conduit of God's grace? Are we allowing the spiritual blessings to mark us as infectious with God's grace? Wonder if we can just take a few moments of reflection to examine ourselves, to examine, as Pastor Wayne said, our community, the church is us as the people of God, and see if we are a conduit of infectious grace. I know it seems like a dirty word, infectious, but it grabs you, doesn't it? To see if God's love gushes out there from within here, from within here. Wherever you find a comfortable spot, whether it's here at the altar, whether it's in the pew, whether it's standing, whether it's kneeling, whether it's sitting, can you take a few moments and reflect? Am I being a conduit of God's grace? Am I being a conduit of God's love? And then I'll end our time in prayer. Just a few moments. Gracious and loving God, we search within ourselves. We search within our community and we look. We pray and we ask that you seek and you search with us. Think of the psalmist, Psalms 139. Search me, O God, know my heart. Search us, God, and illuminate the things for us that we need your help to remove, to make us infectious with your grace, infectious Christian. People see us, people see our community, they see love, they see your grace, and they want it. They come to us and they ask us, what do you have that I don't have? And we're able to say, we have Jesus. We have a Savior. Lord God, in this new year, we already celebrate and praise what you have done. What you're doing, what you continue to do through us as a church here in Mifflinburg. We give praise. We give adoration. Be with us as we dismiss from this place. May you keep us safe. May you guide and protect us this week and in the weeks and months to come. May we sense your presence with us always. And may we not shy away from giving you praise all day long. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for being here. You are dismissed.